our co-host, really, Sal Palantonio, the host of the NFL Matchup Show and the author of Philly Special, the inside story of how the Philadelphia Eagles won their first Super Bowl. Good morning, Sal.
Good morning, Pat. Thank you so much for mentioning the books. Still doing great. Still top of the charts. Third printing now for Philly Special, and can't thank the fans of Philadelphia Eagles enough. They have done a tremendous job supporting this project for me. It's been great.
It's a great book. It's a great book. I'm reading it right now. And
thank you, Pat. Right. You're on the interview. You're a tough critic. When Pat says the book is great, you know, he doesn't throw around compliments too often.
Like
I'll take that, Pat.
All right.
You know, I've given the book to a lot of people in the organization and players and coaches, and, you know, got great notes and reviews back from everybody, and still doing book appearances. Looking forward to doing a whole bunch for Christmas. So got big ones coming up.
Good for you, pal. And I want to start out, though. Last week, you were on the sidelines in the Coliseum for that, what I consider to be a real heavyweight bout between the Packers and the Rams. And but the first thing I got to ask you is, I was just shocked. And here's a team 7-0 going into that game, and they're the most exciting team in the NFL, really, besides the Chiefs. And I looked at me, Sal, like there were 60,000 Packer fans there. But, well, what in the hell was that like?
Well, it was awesome because, you know, it's always kind of cool when, you know, when the dynamic shifts like that, when you have so many out-of-town fans just take over a stadium. I saw it last year when Eagles fans just took over the L.A. Coliseum when the Eagles came out and played the Rams on that ill-fated Sunday when Carson Wentz got hurt. This wasn't as bad. The Eagles fans literally took over the entire city of Los Angeles, which is hard to do because that's a big place.
Right.
But it was pretty loud for the Lambeau faithful. And, you know, the Packers fans travel well, A. B, it is Southern California, and people are looking for an excuse to get to the warm weather. And this team is worth following when you have Aaron Rodgers and you're playing the Los Angeles Rams. And it really had the feel of a little Super Bowl, like a mini Super Bowl out there. And I was very happy to be part of it. I was on the sideline. And I'll tell you this much, Pat. You better thank the baby Jay that Ty Montgomery fumbled that kickoff return, because
there is no question.
Aaron Rodgers was poised to pull out his lightsaber and go, World Jedi Master on you guys.
There's
one
no
more,
question.
One
you
more
are,
drive.
You are right about that. But just one final just note about what the subject was. The league has to look at that. You know, they have to look at that Eagle game last year, this Packer game last week, and now they got two teams sitting in a city, which apparently doesn't give much of a damn at all about the fact that it's back in the NFL. Yeah.
Well, there are a lot of Rams fans. There's just not. There's definitely not a lot of Chargers fans. Right. And, you know, the reports are accurate that the support for the Chargers moving out of San Diego, not there. Support for them moving to Los Angeles, not there. They're having a hard time selling the seat licenses for the new stadium for the Chargers, not so much for the Rams. And I actually drove by the stadium on the way from the airport to my hotel downtown. That place looks like a giant football palace like you've never seen before. Yeah.
I wanted to ask you, Sal, because you brought up the Ty Montgomery play. As far as I'm concerned, for my money, that's one of the biggest plays of the season so far. And afterwards, so much conflicting information about what the instructions were for Ty Montgomery. Is he doing something defiantly, whatever? Were you able to get any kind of clarity on that after the game to find out what exactly the story was with the decision to bring the ball out from the end zone?
Yeah, he just basically ignored the orders of his special teams coach handed down from Mike McCarthy. He was supposed to take a knee. He cluelessly said afterwards that he thought maybe that he was out of the end zone or near it. But when you go back and look at it, he was clearly in the end zone with plenty of real estate between his knee and the goal line. So he should have taken it. He didn't. Whether he did it on purpose because he had been pulled from the game and he was angry about it, we'll never know. But we do know this. They unceremoniously booted him out of town for a seventh-round pick in 2020 to the Baltimore Ravens. So that tells you all you need to know about how they felt about what he did.
That's true. And Joe, you're not wrong either. That was a momentous play because Green Bay now sitting at 3-3-1, and we're going to talk with Sal in a minute. We're going to talk with him about where they have to go next, thanks to the NFL schedule maker. But Sal, back here to the home team for just a minute. Joe and I have been talking in hour one. What would you say is the one area of the team, if you think offense, defense, special teams, coaching, what's the one area that really needs to step it up the most in the second half of the season if the Eagles are to win these 6 of 8 games and perhaps steal this division?
Well, you would probably say at first blush the secondary because of all the injuries and the shuffling of personnel and how poorly they performed in the fourth quarter in Tennessee and then at the link against the Carolina Panthers. But when you look at the Eagles' schedule coming up and what they face and what they are trying to accomplish, the bottom line is they have to win their division. And in order to do that, they have to stop first Ezekiel Elliott on November 11th and then Alvin Kamara on November 18th in New Orleans, and then Adrian Peterson, and then Elliott, and then Gurley, and then Adrian Peterson at the end of the season.
Right.
So, to me, it's got to be the defensive line and the linebackers. I mean, they have to be able to be stout against the run and force Dak Prescott and Alex Smith and Deshaun Watson late in the year, but mostly just Dak Prescott and Alex Smith. You got 2 games against Dallas, 2 against Washington. Considering the personnel that the Eagles have, there's no reason why the Eagles can't sweep those 2 series. And I'm serious about that. That's not hyperbole. That's not just Sal Pal talking about the birds. I think when you look at their matchups, they can beat Dallas twice and Washington twice and New York. That's 5 wins right then and there. And all they have to do is really beat Houston and they have a shot, I think, at winning the division.
All right.
So, Sal, one of the things that we've been talking about that's going to be key to that in terms of personnel acquisition on the other side of the ball, the Golden Tate acquisition, when that came down, a lot of people lauded the move in terms of Golden Tate being able to make things happen after the catch and everything else. How do you see him integrating to Doug Peterson's offense?
All right, well, let's take this on several different levels, Joe, because that's an important question to ask. It's a good question. First and foremost, Golden Tate is a tough guy. Golden Tate is a football player. Golden Tate is a tremendous addition to the football team right now. And I think he's going to fit in very well into the culture of that locker room. He's a leader, and he is a well-spoken leader, and he's going to be respected as soon as he walks in, because when you put on the tape, you see a guy who fights for yards all the time. He's a running back playing the wide receiver position. So he'll be an important addition from that respect. But 2 things. 1, the Eagles have never really been good at quick twitch wide receivers, getting them the football in the slot in this era of Doug Peterson and Carson Wentz and Nick Foles, because neither one of these quarterbacks have quick releases. Neither one of them, Foles or Wentz, certainly not Wentz. Wentz has an elongated release, and he's never been able to get the ball out quickly in the short passing game. As a result, what you see is the slot receiver running a lot of wide receiver screens outside the numbers. To really make use of Golden Tate, you have to make use of him inside the numbers. Allow his shiftiness, a la Julian Edelman, to work inside the numbers. And, you know, basically what they call a jerk route, make the linebacker look like a jerk. And they've never really cashed in on that. Now they have a player who can. And it'll be up to Peterson and Wentz, mostly Wentz, to get him the ball so that he can work the kind of magic that he has worked.
I was talking, Sal, to Joe in the first hour, though, about Yeah, I think the Eagle running game, you know, statistically, they're 20th in the league running the ball right now. And it just, to me, there's a, it's just a comparison to last year when they went out and get Jay Ajayi. Even after they had signed LeGarrette Blount, they went out and get Ajayi because the running game was obviously of great significance. Now it seems like they're almost downplaying it a little bit with a committee of running backs, and they seem to have lost some confidence in Clement. How important do you see the running game being the second half of the year?
Well, let's take Clement for what it is. I mean, he's had a quad injury, and that's obviously bothering him. It slowed him down. He played an important role last year in the playoffs, and certainly without him, you don't win the Super Bowl. So having said that, I don't think they've lost confidence in him. I think he's just been bothered by a quad injury. I totally agree with you, however, that when you go out and get Golden Tate, that basically changes the approach, you know, from last year. In the final eight games last year, they relied on LeGarrette Blount and Ajayi mostly, and certainly in the Super Bowl. You're not winning the Super Bowl without LeGarrette Blount or Ajayi.
Right.
So I think what you'll see from Golden Tate is a lot of jet sweeps, a lot of reverses. You got to get the guy in space with the ball in his hands. And I think you'll see a lot of that. It's going to be up to Peterson in terms of design and Wentz in terms of execution to get Golden Tate the football and make use of him. Because you don't know how long you're going to have him.
Right.
You know, you're going to maybe have him for eight games. So, by the way, since when are we just trading away third-round picks for eight games of a football player's career?
No.
That's a pretty steep price. So when you consider how steep, you know, let's not downplay how steep the price was for a guy who's 30 and is a free agent in 2019. You're basically either renting him for eight games and hoping that he's enough to win you the division title, or you're just admitting that you're giving up a third-round pick for a guy who's not going to be of any use to you next season, which is not good. It's not a good way for a long-term to do business. I understand Howie Roseman's saying, and I agree with him, let's keep our foot down on the gas all the time. But at what price? You don't want to run the car into a wall.
And Sal, that leads me into what I was going to ask you about next, because I thought kind of the same thing about the value, and it throws, you know, you look at it next to the Amari Cooper trade, right? And it makes you wonder if, like, hey, is this just the cost of doing business now, and if you want an established NFL wide receiver, or are these deals getting more and more ridiculous as time's going on?
You know, I would prefer, Joe, to look at it on a case-by-case basis and not look at it as a big-picture item, because each of these trades is different. And while we look at the totality and say, wow, you know, you have to look at each individual one.
Sure.
Amari Cooper's a lot younger than Golden Tate.
Yeah,
he's a lot younger. He's 6 years younger than Golden Tate. And Amari Cooper is not a free agent yet next year.
He's still on his deal.
So there's it's a completely different investment by the Cowboys. Completely different. Now, does that mean the Eagles forced the Cowboys to spend a one because Roseman apparently offered a two to John Gruden for Cooper. And then Stephen and Jerry Jones said, no, we'll give you a one. And so they made them basically up the ante on Amari Cooper. But it's clear the Eagles were interested in Amari Cooper.
Sure.
Yeah. It's going to be fascinating second half to see how those two trades shake out.
Yeah. Well, I think the biggest trade is Dante Fowler to the Rams.
Yeah. Talk about giving up a lot. They gave up a 3 and a 5 for the same rental.
Yeah, but they want to win. They figure, hey, we got Gurley in his prime.
Right.
We've got all these players. We've got Sue. We've got the defensive player in the year and Aaron Donald. They are we're 8-0. Mm-hmm. They're totally all in on winning the Super Bowl this year, just like the Eagles were last year.
That's right.
Listen, Golden Tate is not going to win you the Super Bowl. What's going to win you the Super Bowl is to get that division title and then, you know, work a little magic like you did last year.
That's right.
And then still you're going to have to win this year. You're going to have to win a playoff game on the road.
I'll tell you, Sal, two dawning stats. I gave one to Joe earlier. And since 2001, only three wildcard teams have even made it to the Super Bowl. And in the last 10 years, only one NFC team has gone to the Super Bowl twice, that being Seattle. So, I mean, just goes to show
it's
going to
be hard. We knew that at the beginning of the season. But don't get me wrong. I like the move of Golden Tate. But I think you have to look at it from an objective standpoint and say, okay, what is exactly is it going to do for this team right now? Because it's clear that you've given away a big part of your future. You give away a third-round pick. It's a big part of your future. I mean, you look at the third-round picks, right? Look at the third-round picks for this football team. Nick Foles was a third-round pick.
All right.
Right?
Yep.
Jordan Hicks, your starting middle linebacker.
Yep.
Third-round pick.
Yeah.
Isaac Seumalo, he's a third round pick. Yeah. Rasul Douglas.
Yeah.
And in 2018, you didn't have one. And it hurt you. And in 2019, you won't because it's hard to get them back.
Yeah, that's very true. Very true. We were looking at that earlier.
Russell Wilson was a third round pick.
I know. So was Joe Montana for that
one. Super Bowl winners.
Yep. Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Third round pick is a big, big value. Now, you look at the Rams. They're at New Orleans, then Seattle comes in. That's hot. Those are two tough games. Then they're going to play Kansas City on Monday Night Football. So, yeah. You know, with all due respect, Pat, I think the Rams have a shot to lose three straight here. I really do.
Yeah, and they have.
I'm
a
actually
shot
covering to... that game in Mexico City, by the way. I'm going to be the second sideline reporter.
Make sure you're on the Rams sideline, Sal, all right? I mean, you can at least pull that rank, can you? And I'm sick of hearing about Andy and that quarterback, Mahomes. All right, go talk to Gary.
You mean the current MVP candidate?
Well, that's what a segue. What a segue
what a pro.
By Sal Powell. I tell you, there's no more a pro than Sal Powell to do that for me. The top five is brought to you by our buddy Pat McConney from Annie Mac Home Mortgage. He's a licensed loan originator in PA and New Jersey. So if you're thinking about buying a home, refinancing, or existing mortgage, give Pat a call so we can hold your hand throughout the whole process. You can reach him at 267-474-6379. That's 267-474-6379. Annie Mac is an equal housing lender. NMLS number 338923. All right, Sal. I'll go first this time. We want to do the top five current MVP candidates. Of course, it's almost nothing but quarterbacks because there's really no standout wide receiver other than Adam Thielen. He's not going to win it. So I'm going to go Todd Gurley first. He really deserves a real shot at it. I mean, he is an outstanding player right now. It's a touchdown machine. I got Drew Brees 2, Mahomes 3, Phillip Rivers 4. How about that, Joey? Rivers, I mean, they're the quietest 5-2 team in the league. The only two losses by the Chargers to Kansas City and the Rams. And I'm going to throw Russell Wilson in there at 5 for the resurrection of the Seattle Seahawks.
Oh, wow. Okay. So you went the resurrection when we'd written off Seattle. Okay.
All right.
My list looks different than yours. I've got Pat Mahomes number 1, Todd Gurley number 2. I've got Phillip Rivers number 3, actually.
Okay.
Cam Newton number 4.
All right.
And I still think Carson Wentz at number 5 is a dark horse candidate. I really do. Who's more valuable?
All right, Sal, break the tie.
Oh, I like Joe Torty's list.
Oh.
Patrick Mahomes 1, Todd Gurley 2, Alvin Kamara 3.
All right, not bad.
Yep.
Not bad.
Drew Brees 4 and Carson Wentz number 5.
Oh.
And I think that if they continue to win, Carson Wentz is going to get himself into the national conversation. Getting back to the Rams schedule, Pat. Not only have at New Orleans, Seattle, in my view, one of the hottest, toughest teams to play right now, then Kansas City, then you have two tough outs on the road, Detroit and Chicago, and then the Eagles come in. By the time the Eagles come in week 15, the Eagles will be firing on all cylinders. So I think the Rams have – that's the reason why you go out and you pay a lot to get Dante Fowler. You definitely are going to need Dante Fowler in the next 5 games.
I think that's fair, and I don't think there's ever a chance the Rams are going to go unbeaten. That is a daunting schedule. I think they could end up like a 13-3. I still think that gets them a 1 seed. But you're right. It's going to be for Philadelphia too. It's the Eagles can control their own destiny because, like you pointed out, it's all inside the division. So they still have a heck of a shot. By the way, Carson Wentz 8th in the NFL in passer rating. You guys have elevated him into the MVP discussion. So just a second.
Right. You know, Sal, the haters are so strong.
No, I'm not a hater at all. I love Carson Wentz. I love Wentz. But I mean, let's calm down on him as an MVP candidate until the 4-4. All right, so anyway, Sal, we appreciate it. The book is called Philly Special, the inside story of how the Philadelphia Eagles won their first Super Bowl. And
yep.
Are you off this weekend? Are you relaxing?
No, I am. I am in Foxborough
for the
number one game of the week, the Packers at the Patriots on Sunday Night Football.
Yep.
I'll be leading all the shows tomorrow on Sunday, NFL Countdown Sports Center, and we have a terrific matchup show tomorrow for everybody to check out. I mean, it's week 9, Pat. You know, you don't take a week off.
That's right.
Not at ESPN.
You just got to strap it on and get the hell out there. That's the truth. So good job.